What are the, I mean, the classification, obviously we've seen species change into other species. It's the like speciesization, is that the word, what it's called?
Yeah, we've seen examples of it. A lot of people retort with, that's not a change in species because it's still the same type of living thing or whatever. It's like, well, but it is a different species. So they just change their mind about what they really wanted to see or whatever. But yeah, speciation.
Okay. And then what would be the classification above that? Because I've heard some debates where Christians would talk about, or at least the category where they like to dig their feet in, per se, is the kinds or the families.
Yeah, so they say a change in kind, and
I
have never gotten a very straight answer about what a kind is. Some people say that a kind is a family, so it goes species is
and then
genus and then family. Family's above that.
Yeah.
And then order comes before family. Yeah, order comes before family. So, like, a family is roughly what a kind is supposed to be, I guess. So, we've never documented a change in like families, but that's a process that would, I mean, no sensible person would think that the process can take anything less than many, many, many thousands of generations. So, no, humans can't live that long, and we've only been doing science for a short amount of time, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. If it had happened, if speciation I don't know what the word for this would be either. A new taxa evolving, I guess, is some way we could say it.
Okay.
If that had happened before in Earth's history, then there would theoretically be evidence. Now I think we have really good evidence of it. In the fossil record, for example, but
I think that's where I would say that the contention would be is like we can't observe, like the scientific method kind of hinges upon the fact of observable evidence, or at least repeatable in some type of repeatable fashion. We're having to make some assumptions
sometimes.
On like changes. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can't prove everything to be true in the same way. I mean, I think me and you'd agree on that.
Yeah, we can't make black holes, but like we are as sure that black holes exist as we are sure that protons exist.
So we can observe black holes.
Yeah, but we can't the whole if you can't do it experimentally and repeat it and observe it and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Then that's not real science. That drives me crazy because it's just.
Well, that's like the presuppositions. Like that. Like you can't prove that there's other minds besides yourself. We were talking about that yesterday. Like you can't you can't necessarily prove that we're not a brain in a vat, you know, or in some type of matrix simulation, you know, or whatever. You know, some of those things have to be presupposed, and we were talking about that yesterday. But when it comes to, but still, we need some type of like justification for these things, and specifically in regards to the evolution of change in families per se. What would be like, I guess, your argument that there is a potential for change in families, even though we haven't observed it, and that there could be a potential thousands of years or billions of years from now in a change of family. What would be your like response or your argument?
So I would say that the fossil record really clearly demonstrates that the species of the past were completely different from the species of today. Yet we are the descendants of them. Ergo, species do change over time. So like for Darwin predicted that there should be, based on the physical similarities between birds and dinosaurs, there should be, he predicted that birds evolved from dinosaurs and we should find like an intermediate form, a so-called missing link or whatever. And like literally 2 or 3 years after he published On the Origin of Species, ARC found. And Archaeopteryx, is it a bird or is it a dinosaur? I mean, like, technically birds are dinosaurs, so maybe a better way to put it would be, is it a Is it a bird or is it a reptile? Because dinosaurs are reptiles and birds are birds, right? Well, it's such a chimera that it's actually kind of hard to say because it has a really long tail. Birds don't have tails. It has a snout with teeth. Birds have beaks that have no teeth in them. Later on, we find things like Hesperornis, which does have a beak, but it still has teeth. It has unfused fingertips. Birds, except for ostriches and emus and perhaps cassowaries, don't have, they all do have fused fingertips, that is. The hip structure is totally different, but it has hollow bones and like a whole bunch and flight feathers. Obviously, it's a whole bunch of other things like that. So,
But aren't
like,
those just
if.
characteristics?
Oh, sorry. What's
Aren't
that?
those just characteristics of the same? They're just variant characteristics of a certain species that doesn't necessarily give credence to a mandatory change in family, but more of just a deviant variation of the same species.
Well, no, because, well, instead of
For
saying
instance,
no, I
like
would say that I
we
think
have
that
smaller.
argument's weak because the idea is birds evolved from some other group of organisms. And so what that would mean is the traits that birds have today, we would call those highly derived traits. So a bird has arms, just like I do, but the bones of the arms are so specially modified to serve the function that they have. But if birds evolved, it means that their ancient ancestors way, way back had they had arms, but not wings that they used to fly with necessarily, right?
So I guess I would my question is, how do we how, your first assertion or premise I have trouble conceding is that birds evolve from other things. How would you
Well,
argue that?
if they did, I mean, if species evolve, it means that they evolved from different species in the past, right? So far I'm just telling you ifs. And the reason I say that is because science is in the business of making predictions, right? Well, lo and behold, we have tons of these intermediate transitional fossils of birds, like for example, Hesperornis, which is very modern in a lot of ways with other birds, except it has teeth. It hadn't lost that trait yet,
But
right?
it's still a
So
bird, though,
that's
right?
yes, but it's a more primitive bird, right? And then Archaeopteryx, it's very hard to distinguish. I mean, the truth is, it was never the case that one day something that isn't a bird laid eggs and inside those eggs were birds. I mean, the process doesn't happen instantaneously like that, right? So, we're never going to find the first bird because it's too subjective and it doesn't work like that. It's like, when did modern English appear on this planet? It didn't. It is completely different than Old English, but it didn't just appear. It wasn't like a bunch of people. It wasn't like this one generation all of a sudden was like, let's just change almost all the words,
So here's my, if I'm making a little bit of a logical connection here with what, if I'm trying to apply your logic, it's more of an inductive argument where you're taking these observations of variant birds or birds that were primitive, to use your definition, and based on a observation of change, ergo, there is a inductive assertion that there could have been a change in family. Is that essentially correct? That you're using essentially observation to come to a conclusion. And the reason why
Sort
I'm
of.
saying
I mean,
that is.
I'm using evidence. So science goes back and forth from deduction to induction. Scientific theories are inductive, right? Because scientific theory is a grand narrative. Plate tectonics describes huge amounts of
Let me re
things.
rephrase it. Your
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with the way you phrased it.
no, well, yeah, just because I would use your same method and your same principles of what you are describing in terms of applying it to evolution. And if I can apply that same method to Christianity, I would assume that you would disagree with me, but I'm just following the logic. It seems to be the same logical argument, but coming to a different conclusion.
What do you mean you would use this for Christianity?
So you're looking at these fossils, these inimentary fossils, was what you're saying, these deviant or variant middle of the, you know, what did you call them again?
Intermediates or missing links. Intermediate or missing link
fossils or transition fossils, which are still of the same family or kind or whatever you want to call it, right? They're still birds. And you're making an assumption based on observations that because there's some type of micro change in their teeth or things of that nature, that therefore there could be a change in a family to family change, right? So that's just an observation, and you're coming to conclusion based on your observation. So if I look at what I was talking about yesterday, the nature of the laws of logic, right? If I'm looking at the nature of laws of logic and the four characteristics in which I apply, or at least I observe of the laws of logic, are these transcendentals. They're timeless, universal, unchanging, and they're bound to a mind. Now, if I look at those four observations and I would say, hey, where's the origin of those things? I would say it has to be a universal, timeless, changeless mind, which would be God. You would disagree with me, but I'm using the same observational inductive argument that you're using. But I think
I don't really think so, because I was talking about the physical evidence that is the fossil record. Now all of a sudden we're not talking about physical evidence. We're just making logical claims.
You're making observations, and I'm making observations of physical phenomenon or phenomena, and then also immaterial phenomena. And no matter what category, immaterial or material, we're making observations and using some type of inductive argument to come to a conclusion. And your scenario and my scenario, I'd say at the end, the conclusion, you're having to take some type of leap of faith to come to a conclusion. And I would say it's not necessarily rationally, at least I don't think it's rationally justified to make that conclusion based on the fact that we don't observe those things to happen.
But we predicted what the evidence would be, and we have that evidence. It's not faith-based. It's based in evidence. You can call it, there's nothing wrong with saying it is a belief. There's nothing wrong with saying that we use the evidence to make, in science we usually call them inferences, which is just a different word for assumptions. But it's not faith, because it's based on evidence.
Well, so what was the prediction? You said you made a claim just now that we had a prediction that we would come to these conclusions, or we would find these certain evidences.
Yeah, I mean, like for example, with evolution. I mean, if evolution is true, like in Darwin's time, they had no idea that such a thing called DNA even exists. They had no idea how heredity works. And then lo and behold, later on in the 20th century, we figured out that DNA exists and what its function is. And then we started in the 21st century sequencing genome. I mean, it started at the end of the 20th century, but whatever. Started sequencing genomes. So the amount of shared genes that two things have tells you their relatedness. That's how it works with people, and that's how it works across species. So what I would say is genetics just confirmed the theory, right? Or it maybe confirmed. Confirmed makes it sound like it was proven indefinitely, and in science that never happens. I mean, you can be 99.9% sure or whatever, but genetics exactly matched the prediction, because, you know, you and I, we would test our DNA, and it's 99.9 whatever percent the same. Well, what's the organism that we are most similar to? If we just study it without looking at the genetics, it's the apes. Great. Let's check the DNA. Oh, we're most similar to them. I mean, it's perfect, right? And then there's the fossil record. If organisms do evolve, that means the fossils of things that were alive in the distant past should be different than the things of today. And that's exactly what we find. right? The only alternative explanation to the fossil record is just to believe that life is just spontaneously appears in its fully formed state in stages throughout Earth's history. And people have believed that, but I'm not aware of anybody that believes that anymore.
Okay. So I guess my next question kind of, I guess it'd be a tangential question would be how can you, obviously you're appealing to your reasoning skills. How do you just, how do you trust your, how do you trust your senses in terms of when you're coming to these conclusions and in some type of empirical evidence to justify evolution? You know, obviously you're having to utilize, you know, whether it be laws of logic or these immaterial things. Are they, did we come up, did the human evolution come up with these mechanisms of reason, for instance, like the law of identity and all those things? Did we evolve into that, or was that always the case from your perspective?
So I think that the thing you're talking about, okay, how do I want to say this? We invented a way to talk about it because we invent language and then we can use language to represent, our thoughts about the world around us. But those thoughts were always present. I mean, like
Like
other
when
an
you're
like we
fish?
know other animals think logically. I mean, you can't possibly deny that. So a sense of logic, like the idea of, like stuff you learn about when you learn about, like, if you ever took like a psychology class, or like if you ever learned about like the stages children go through. Like, kids don't understand object permanence when they're really young, but then they do understand it later on. You
Yeah.
know, the other organisms have, some sort of sense of that. We have the best one. Now, is it just innate? Is it so good because it's innate within us, or is it because we rigorously beat it into like our offspring through the way we just, manufacture our lives and our families and our environment or whatever? So I would say, like, our ability to think logically is innate within us, but things like, language and that kind of stuff, that's sort of different from evolution and natural selection, in a way.
How
But
is it different?
sorry.
How would it be different?
Oh, well, it's not so.
Product of the brain, which involved, which devolved,
Yeah.
right?
Well, I don't want to say this. So, like, chimpanzees, or maybe like birds. So birds use tools, right? Sometimes they like
Yeah,
pick
I
up
think it's
sticks and
not
stuff.
fruitful to talk about other. I mean, obviously, other animals react, and they, you know, they're navigating the world in which they know it, but we don't know if they're consciously aware of their own thoughts like we are. So I think it's more fruitful just to talk about the human experience.
Well,
You
I
know?
will, but I think this comparison will be useful. So we know that birds use tools. Now, that is not a trait that can be passed down. Not really. You couldn't possibly read a bird's DNA and find the thing that equals picking up sticks and using it to scoop out ants or whatever they use it
I
for,
guess you
right?
could.
So, well, no, there couldn't possibly be a gene for that, right? Because that it's not part of the organism. It's something the organism does, though, right? So that's not part of natural selection, really. So we would say, like, there really isn't selective pressure on it. Does it affect the organism's ability to survive? Yes. And is there a genetic influence over it? Well, I mean, like, yeah, in the sense that the bird has a nervous system and stuff like that. But there's no such thing as a gene for using a stick or a tool. And in humans, there are genes that are involved with, like, our ability to vocalize, like the FOXP2 gene. All mammals have it. In humans, the purpose of it appears to be almost largely tied just to language, right? But that doesn't mean that evolution is picking and favoring people who have the ability to say words, because that gene's been with us before we had real language, or or like real grammar, right? So there's an evolutionary component to it where like the ability like for us to vocalize for whatever reason is important and adaptive, and natural selection can act on it, but language itself gets evolved and that's passed down culturally. It's
well, I mean,
sort
the
of
thing
outside the
humans,
genes, actually.
I mean, from both of our perspectives, the thing that separates us from any other, you know, animal or whatever else exists in this world is the fact that we are able to use our intelligence to navigate this world. And I think that intelligence makes more sense to be with us from the origin of life as it's given from God, as we're made in his image from Adam and Eve. Whereas it's hard to justify, like, let's just say from your perspective, we were fish billions of years ago floating around in the, I don't know, Atlantic Sea. And then what, we had 1/8 of the ability of reasoning skills, or 1/8 of the ability to utilize 1/8 of the laws of logic. And then we grew to 1/2 and then 3/4. And then we finally were able to use the full laws of logic. It doesn't make sense to me why you'd be able to evolve into the ability to use your reasoning skills. It's either you had it or you don't.
Why? Yeah, but why would evolution favor intelligence over anything else?
Well, you tell me, because we're obviously the most intelligent creatures and the most dominant creatures on the face of the earth. So that had to be the most dominant trait from your perspective.
No, not at all, because
we sent a man on the moon.
Yes, I know, but how's that? So I wouldn't really argue that has helped our species in terms of natural selection necessarily in any way. So
sure,
like,
it has.
Fitness.
Me and you would have to agree on that our intelligence is bar none the thing that is not only put us in the dominant position in the world's hierarchy, but also the number one reason why we're able to survive and thrive and come up with transistors, modems, the iPhone, to sending a person on the moon.
It's also the reason we're able to do unthinkable atrocities, though, too. It's the same thing. I mean, the 30 years war, no animal could have done something like that, you know.
Well, then except us. That would be more of a discussion of morality. Like, if natural selection, like if that's your plumb line or your standard, well, then if I'm adopting your worldview, you would have to almost applaud the certain genocides because it's naturally selecting those that are weaker than others. But I would say that's
no, it doesn't. There's nothing rational or makes sense from an evolutionary perspective of doing a genocide. That's insane.
What would be the principle in which you adopt first as your plumb line? Morality or natural selection towards a better society?
Reason.
I could easily tell you mine.
I would pick
morality.
Neither. I would pick reason.
No, reason
so
is
can we,
reason
I,
is
can we
reason
can
is
we
moral
actually go
too.
Back to this intelligence thing, because it's not that this other thing isn't interesting, but this one's really interesting, and we can talk about one and then the other. So, like, going back to the intelligence thing, like, yes, we are the most intelligent, but we're not the apotheosis of evolution. We're not the best anything. I wouldn't say, like, you can say we're the most intelligent, but best is just like it's subjective. So, like, fitness or like survival of the fittest, that doesn't mean physical fitness or stamina or intelligence or strength or speed or anything like that. It just means like an organism's ability to survive and reproduce in
yeah,
the environment.
Can I stop you there? So I think all of our basic, most people's basic assumptions in life would have to be life is better than death. And I think us, more than any other creature, is better and more evolved at preventing death and sustaining and lengthening life than any other species.
That's not true. Bacteria, plants, tardigrades, nematodes.
In comparison,
they say bacteria, ants, algae, even viruses. Those every one of those organisms I would consider is doing, well, viruses aren't even organisms. They're doing vastly better at the game of evolution, like having wild being wildly successful at reproducing. They're doing it far better than we are, and they do it despite having somewhere between almost zero and literally zero intelligence, like with the case
So
of viruses.
you would rather be a virus?
Me, no.
Neither would I. I'm talking.
We're not talking about personal preferences. We're talking about what natural selection selects for, and then what leads to success in an evolutionary perspective. And I don't see how you could possibly argue that
Well, I'm
humans
saying we have the
have done
ability.
better than viruses in
Yeah,
the
we have because we have conquered. There are certain viruses, for instance, the flu that we have conquered in terms of,
We haven't conquered the
or
flu. It's
yeah, well, it's it we
never
have,
gonna go away.
yeah. Well, I know it's
We've
never going
gotten
to
rid
go
of
away per se.
smallpox.
Yeah,
We
like
eradicated it.
smallpox or all kinds of other things that the virus versus the human most of the time is going, and I would say if not all the time to domineer and to conquer whatever it is that's in our way. That's what I'm trying to say. That even, I mean, you could talk about, yeah, smallpox or hay fever or, the mad cow disease. All of that has been conquered. Yeah, it's caused havoc on societies and wrecked human society, but we have eventually conquered all of those viruses, whereas the viruses have not in perpetuity conquered us.
So here's this kind of takes me back to the other thing I was thinking. When you say we, who do you mean we?
Me
Because
and you, bro,
what I
TikTok.
find is a lot of us give credit to the entire human race for the achievements of just a few select people. So let's say we've been through stages, the Stone Age,
Dark
the
Ages.
Copper Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, the Industrial Age, whatever. If the 1 million smartest people who ever lived, which is, we think there have been around 100 billion humans, so 1 million is actually a insanely tiny number, actually. If the million smartest people who ever lived had never been born, do you think we would still be in the current technological age that we're in? Because I
Yes.
don't. Really?
I would say that's a it's not necessarily a product of human reason. It's more of a product of revelation. And from the Christian perspective,
Revelation?
that we need something that transcends human reason. This is what John Calvin tried to argue, that we need something that transcends human reason, knowing that we're constantly being beset by instability of emotion and vacillation of thought. We need something that transcends human reason. That's the inward conviction of the spirit or revelation. Meaning, if you look at, say, the creation of the transistor, right, back in the early 20th century, there's nothing that you could say that's like reasonable about the creation of the transistor. It's almost just like a epiphany that came out of nowhere, or you could say a revelation that God appointed in that time for that to happen.
Well, that's a untestable claim. I don't think that's super useful. But if you ask me, if the million smartest people who'd ever lived had never existed, I think we'd still be in the Stone Age. Because, I mean, if we are as intelligent as you're saying, then what do we need like Einsteins and Newtons and Da Vincis for? Or, if we're as smart as we think we are, how come the Western world never invented paper, printing, gunpowder, contoured plows, wheelbarrows, umbrellas? Did I say gunpowder?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think I
but
did say
part
gunpowder.
of that is
Scissors or all this other stuff that we borrowed from China, right?
but part of that is relative, right? You can take the dumb, I mean, I'm not going to say the dumbest, but a very, I don't know, you could take a
Look, there are dumb
middle,
people. It's okay to say
okay, we'll take a
it.
dumb high schooler and teach him the basics of quantum mechanics with Higgs bosons, and quarks and all of that. And right off the get-go, he would know more about that than Einstein did. And it's so part of that is relative. No pun intended with theory of relativity there. But I'm not going to deny that Einstein was an absolute genius and a baller. But I'm just saying that we tend to grow on the aggregate of our knowledge. And, you know, so it's like we have a maybe a better way to put it is we're 20 steps up the ladder or the stairs case. And it just seems easier for us at this point in our day and age. Like, again, you could take the dumbest person in the world and get them on ChatGPT and it's like they look like a genius. So it's just it's almost this compounding interest that we're paying ourselves. I don't know. It's a very interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, but I mean that high schooler could never possibly have known anything unless a very, very tiny minority of humans that happened to discover those things existed.
Well, I'm actually not going to disagree with you that all of the successes we've seen in this world have come from a small minority of individuals. I mean, even more than a small minority, like a half of a percent of people have been the impetus of why we have the benefits of what we have, like the Benjamin Franklins, the Albert Einsteins,
Greta Thunbergs.
Yeah, all these guys.
But that was a joke.
Frank and Tesla, you know, all these guys that did some pretty incredible stuff that was leap years in front of their peers and their time frame, to be honest. I don't exactly know where we're going with that. But anyways, if you want to invite somebody else up, I appreciate you having me on.